Had a great weekend? Wow, amazing. And, you know, I've been hearing about global warming for like 30 years and finally got here. I've been waiting so long. Isn't that amazing? All the taxes I paid, I finally get to appreciate some global warming. Amazing. Lightning on a ski hill, that was fantastic. So let's just pray for a moment. Father, we just come before you today, and we are so thankful, Lord, for just the wonderful weather you've given us, spring skiing in February. Pastor Love, Pastor Doug, Pastor Bailey, and all of the Pastor Moore, all the messages, Lord God, and all of your beautiful body of Christ from the different parts of our Northeast ministry, Lord, we thank you for that. And we just thank you for the music today, and we pray that you bless these thoughts and the word that's going to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so we started the weekend. Pastor Love was speaking about the theme, and he said that Abraham believed, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Isn't that amazing? Like, he believed, and he says the word in Hebrew for believe was amen. He agreed with God. He agreed with God, and God didn't give him like a portion of him. God gave him his righteousness, the righteousness of God. And I was just thinking of that briefly this morning, the righteousness of God. What an amazing word. This principle that we find in the word of God is, it's paramount in our lives that we think about the righteousness of God. Because what is it that can deliver us? Let's look, turn, if you don't mind, to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, just two verses. Proverbs 11, 4 and 5 says this, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death." Riches profit not in the day of wrath. Righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall deliver his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Wow. So what can deliver us? It's not riches, you know. It's not our plans. By the way, the next election will not deliver us, right? The next presidential election, that's not going to deliver us, but it's the righteousness of God. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. We are being directed by God's righteousness. I love to come here on these weekends, you know, these rallies, these conferences, because I'm with people who hunger after righteousness. And this is like, you know, this is amazing. Like, the Bible promises us that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, what's going to happen? We will be filled. We will be satisfied. So if you keep hanging with people, that's why we invited people from Montreal to come with us. Because if we hang with people that love righteousness, if we hang with people that have an appetite for the Word of God, that have an appetite for the things of God, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to start having an appetite for God. We start having an appetite for the things of God. Because it's not riches that deliver us. And riches, they could help us in many practical things in life, right? But what will deliver us from death? Will riches deliver? No. Righteousness delivers us from death. So this is something that is higher than anything that we see in the world. Many of us will go to work tomorrow, and this word righteousness will never come up. You could try it. You go to the water cooler tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. People will be talking about the Super Bowl and different things. But is anybody going to talk about righteousness? What do you think of the righteousness of God? It's a good topic for the cafeteria or your university class, you know. But you'll never hear that in the world. And yet it's righteousness that delivers us from death. It's God's righteousness. God is always right. So this is why he's our deliverance. And if we think of the rapture of the church, how many are looking forward to the rapture of the church? Yeah, almost all of us in here. You know, Jesus is going to come And he's going to come in his righteousness. And he's going to call his righteous. And he's going to take us to the place of righteousness, heaven. That's going to be an amazing time. And then we are going to come back with him in the second coming. And he's going to judge the world in what? Righteousness. That's right. And it's because of righteousness that the heavens will be opened up and the glory of God will speak. And Jesus will open his mouth and the armies of the world will fall in an instant because they will be met with righteousness. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says that in the crackling of a noise, I forgot how it says, in a crackling noise, like have you ever seen, like there's going to be the Super Bowl later on today. Every Super Bowl, they have the fighter jets fly right over, right after the, I think the national anthem or just before. And I don't know if you've ever, you know, I'm sure you've heard it in these parts here because I think there's a base not far from here. But if you ever hear a jet fly over, wow. The crackling, it's like the sky is cracking open, you know? And that's what Peter says in 2 Peter 3. The heavens, the universe will melt with fervent heat, like a crackling noise. And it's going to happen because of righteousness. Righteousness will do that. Righteousness will make all things new. Righteousness will rule with purity and with love. And because of righteousness, there's a hell. And, you know, maybe we don't like to think about that too much. And I don't know if that's a popular subject anymore in Christian churches. But because of the righteousness of God, there is a hell. Because God doesn't send anyone to hell, but he honors people's free will if they don't want to be with God for eternity. If people don't want to live in righteousness for eternity, then there's another choice, and that's hell. And we think of Jesus, you know, he walked this earth and everywhere he went, he was met with opposition. Everywhere he went, we read in the Gospels, demons met him there somehow. There was always this opposition and they trembled. The demons trembled at him and they begged him for mercy. We've seen that. Why? Because they were met with righteousness. And they begged for mercy. And people saw what he did. They heard the message of Christ. By the way, what was his message? Jesus' message. His message was that he is righteous and we are not. That's his message. That was his message. And he was the answer for our salvation. But what is man's message? Man's message is that we are good and God is not fair. Isn't that amazing? That's what we think about. That's what man thinks about God. But righteousness came. And what did we do? We crucified him. We crucified righteousness. Who did that? We did that. And if Jesus came today, we would do the same thing all over again. Because this world is the opposite of righteousness. It's wicked. And what did it say in Proverbs 11:5? The wicked fall by their own wickedness. You know, sometimes we can get so upset when I read the news and I hear what's going on in the world, when I hear what they're teaching our kids, when I hear what's going on around, I can get so upset about it, I want to do something about it. But the Bible says the wicked will fall by their own wickedness. Like, you know, we pray, we do what we can, but they will fall by their own wickedness because it's Adam, you know. The Adamic nature in us revolts against the truth. And this is the battle we all have every day. It's in us. We have these two natures and they are opposite of each other. And they struggle for control in us, don't they? But by the grace of God, he's given us the Holy Spirit. And we live in times of love, and we can have peace and we can have joy because of his Holy Spirit filling us with his righteousness, and the righteousness of God takes over in our lives. And we could see beyond Adam, we could see beyond our flesh. The righteousness of God does that for us. It's amazing. So, and what is that called? It's called being partakers In 2 Peter 1:4, it says we are partakers of a divine nature, the divine nature of God. We've escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust because of the righteousness of God he has given us, just like he did Abraham. It's amazing. So this is how we can be delivered. And this is how you could be delivered today. We hear the word of God. Pastor Love is going to come up in a few minutes. He's going to speak the word of God. And we're going to hear the righteousness of God. How does that happen? It's amazing. We could stand up here as, in a sense, in our state, unrighteous. But in our position, we can speak the word and we can fellowship with one another. And righteousness takes over. It's amazing. God does that. So that's what we need most. We need most the righteousness of God. And just closing here, the righteousness of God, I was thinking today after our rap last night, the righteousness of God brings about repentance, actual change. We can never do that. It's the righteousness of God that does that. We come here, we hear the message, and we think, I don't want to go today to church. You know, I'm just tired but I go by faith. And then God touches our heart. He changes our mind. Righteousness is spoken. And repentance happens in our heart. And the next thing I know, I become part of the body of Christ. I don't know how it happened. I came, righteousness touched me, and I become part of the body of Christ. And we start to serve God in the body of Christ. And we do something crazy, like we get in our cars and we go to Malta. And I say, why am I even here? How did this happen? I just went to church one day and I'm traveling with these people and, you know, from Marlboro or from Utica, from wherever. And I'm like, how did this happen? I became part of the body of Christ. What? Righteousness did that. It's amazing. You know, righteousness of God comes in our lives, corrects us, and it also delivers us. Because we hear about the new nature, we hear about truth, and there's a yoke that is broken in us. There's a burden that is removed, and the anointing of God and the will of God comes into our lives, you know. And we have the anointed one, we have Christ, we have his words. Everywhere Jesus went, he touched people, and the burdens were taken. The yoke of bondage was broken wherever Christ went. It was because of his righteousness. So that's what we need today, amen? It's the righteousness of God. Maybe you have a burden today. Hey, you're in the right place. You will hear of the righteousness of God, and that burden can be lifted in a moment's time. Just put your trust in him. Put your faith in him. All right, let's pray for the offering. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you today, God. We praise you, Lord, that you can deliver us today. You have delivered us, and you continue to deliver us. And we pray that as we give today, we are not giving to man. We are giving to you. We are giving by faith today because you asked us to, because this is your plan. Your plan is the church. When you ascended, you left Peter and the disciples with a plan. In Matthew 16, you said, I have a church. That's my plan. And this is what we are today, over 2,000 years later. And you said, the church is supported by the people. And we ask you, Lord, to just bless the offering as we give. Thank you for this local church that has worldwide reach. And we thank you, Lord. They send students to Bible college and they raise up missionaries and leaders. That's what we're giving to today, your work. So bless the givers today and those who cannot give, and bless the remainder of the service in Jesus' name. Amen.
His mercy is sweet like summer. He's He's always welcome. If you feel like you're going under, come on for an amazing grace. He's a God who can walk on water. His love can change somebody like me. By the weight of his grace, hallelujah for the blood of Christ. Somebody like me, somebody like you, you come as you are and you live brand new. You can feel broken, running out of hope, just the counselor. Somebody like me, somebody like me. The wayward son, if you're the daughter on the run, doesn't matter where you're coming from, he'll set you free, he'll wash you clean. You're the sheep that's lost, you're the thief on the cross, you can change the road you're walking on, he'll set you free, he'll wash you clean. Somebody like me, somebody like
Pastor Didius got up here, I realized, you know, I should have given him the better introduction, because, but I'm under this delusion that everybody knows, but many of you know him, but not all of you. So Pastor Didius, so you're thinking, who is this guy anyways? Wow, he's got the word, but awesome, but who is he? So for those of you that don't know, Pastor Didius has been pastoring the church in Montreal for years, maybe decades. If you weren't here last night, his family led us in worship. Family plus one, I think, maybe. So yesterday we had all those that were visiting from other churches stand, but today we're going to have the leaders stand, but we're going to start with just the Didetis family plus one that worshiped, led us in worship. With the Didetis family, because he's here with his sons. His son led us in worship, and Eris was on bass, right? Yeah, with Didetis family, just stand so you now you know Pastor James Didetis, Jill, yeah, Dean and Eris, and the plus one. Yes. All right. So would the pastors stand? The people stood last night, but I just want you to see these are the guys that have a gift of teaching and leadership that we depend upon to feed the flock. The health of the body is dependent on every single member. But these guys, special burden, special blessing. Would you all stand? All of you pastors, not just the overseeing pastors, teaching elders that have come, and even the ones from Malta here. Yeah. So pray for these guys. Pray for them. Pray for their wives. Thank you. Thank you guys for coming and bringing part of your flocks anyways. And so Pastor Love, he said, keep the introduction short and sweet, but I love this because he's got these four major hats, probably more than four. These are the four that I know well, four major hats that he wears because he does it and he's been doing it for decades. But he is a Bible college professor and at Maryland Bible College and Seminary. He's one of many great men, and they're not just, you know, stuffed shirts. These are guys that they know their God. They know the scriptures. They've been serving God. They're the real deal. These are the men you want to teach the Bible to your people, if you're your family members, your church members. And he's one of the Bible college professors. He's also the Grace Hour host. And, you know, for years, decades, Pastor Stevens hosted the Grace Hour. But for the past several decades, Pastor Love hosts the Grace. He shares that graciously with some others, but he is the anchor host of the Grace Hour radio program. He's also a youth pastor. All right. You can raise your hand. You can stand up if you want. But if you have been in camp life, you've had Pastor Love as your youth pastor. And you may not be young any longer, but that's all right. He's been doing, he has teens, and Pastor Doug gave this testimony last night. Now he has teens in his teen ministry that he had their parents in the teen ministry. But if you have been in camp life or under Pastor Love's youth ministry anywhere along the line over the past several decades, would you at least raise your hand? Raise your hand. Pastor Love has been your youth pastor. Yeah, that's like about half of the people are raising their hands. And you get to, here you are with him again. And he's also the chaplain for the New York Knicks. With all of that said, those different hats he's wearing, he is a man of God with a gift of teaching and preaching and love. So many of you know him personally as a friend. And he is all of that. But would you welcome Pastor Love to the pulpit again this morning?
Thank you. Man of God.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Yeah, when you hear all that and you see all those people that raise their hands, you just think, it's time for my funeral. Been around too long. It's over. So I know that everyone, every believer here, as Pastor James so beautifully shared with us, every believer wears what the Bible calls a robe of righteousness. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, spoke about that robe in the 61st chapter in the 10th verse. That's the garment of righteousness that every one of us wears. You can't get into the presence of God. You won't be a part of this great wedding feast without that garment. But having said that, I just want to present Pastor Moore with the second most important garment, which is the New York Knicks t-shirt. Okay? Okay, I know that you Celtics fans are on the verge of vomiting because you see this shirt, but this is for Pastor Moore. I know he'll represent us well, so thank you, Pastor Moore. Here you go. You got your own official Knicks t-shirt.
All right, thank you.
My pleasure. $5.99 plus tax. No big deal. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much. We've already heard so much this morning, Lord, that we could leave here and be deeply, deeply encouraged as we lifted your name in worship and we heard about your righteousness, which just makes all the difference in our lives, and we're so grateful for that. Bless these thoughts now as we wrap up our service here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you could open your Bible with me this morning to the book of Joshua. Let's turn to the 21st chapter, Joshua chapter 21. And it's amazing when you think that everyone, and I assume that's the case, I may be a little bit presumptuous, but everyone in this room, God willing, has already made the most important choice that they could make in their lives, and that is they exercised faith in God. We believed. I mean, it isn't much. Someone has well said that believing God is more of an attitude than it is an act. So it really leaves us with this understanding. We didn't really do anything, but we did believe God. And as Pastor James just said, you know, we said, amen. God said, I'm coming into this world. I'm going to become your kinsman redeemer. I'm going to go to the cross for you. I'm going to pay for your sins. And I'm going to give you a choice. That's it. I'm going to give you a choice. And every one of us, hopefully, at one point in time or another, we came to that crossroads, the crossroads of belief and unbelief. And thank God, we made a decision to believe, right? And then we've learned, and we're still learning this great truth. We just keep taking steps toward God, which is so important. Just like being here this morning, you know what that is? That's a step toward God. And not only do we take these steps toward God, but we sometimes have to lean. Have you ever done this? Have you ever leaned into hope? You might not wholeheartedly embrace it, but you lean into it. What does it mean to lean into hope? It just means that, you know, you just kind of, have you ever leaned into someone? Yeah, maybe you have. That's all. You might not wrap your arms around them. You might not hold them. You might not embrace them, but you're just kind of leaning that way. That's what God wants us to do. And in the same way, and our theme has been all weekend long, and thank you to Pastor Scott and all of his team that worked so hard to put these weekends together, we are pressing toward the promises of God. And I think it's safe to say that we have not already embraced all of God's promises. But we know they're available to us, amen? And we know that we can have them. Because Jesus makes it very clear through the Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says this, He has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, have we appropriated all of those spiritual blessings? I dare say that we probably have not, but we're going to, amen? We're moving in that direction. And sometimes we just have enough strength, so to speak, to lean into hope and to press toward those promises. But that is the message of the book of Joshua. God keeps his promises. And that's, there's nothing more encouraging than that. God keeps his promises. Promises that are very clear and objective in his word that we can take a hold of. And many of us have done that. Promises that God makes to us personally. He may speak to your heart and say something about how he's going to use you or the ministry that he's preparing for you. Or the person that he's preparing for you in your future, a number of things just like that. But he promises, and although sometimes those promises are delayed, we must never interpret the delaying of God's promises as the denial of God's promises. Because sometimes we do have to wait, amen? And the scripture encourages us to wait. Though the vision tarry, wait for it, the Old Testament teaches us. Isaiah the prophet said, they that wait upon the Lord will what? Renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run. They won't get weary. They'll walk. They won't faint. And what's the one condition that makes that promise a reality in our lives? Waiting, which is something that, again, we have to learn how to do. But here in Joshua chapter 21, I want you to see the last few verses of this 21st chapter. And this is the context of these two chapters, 20 and 21, are the children of Israel. They are finally, they've come into the land of promise. And Joshua, as the one who led them into that land after Moses went home to be with the Lord, he is dividing up the land. He is telling this tribe where they belong and what parcel of land is this tribe. And he's just kind of putting everyone in their respective places that God promised them. And then he closes the 23rd chapter. And listen to what he said. Listen carefully to these verses. And it says, verse 43, the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers. And they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. And the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Now, have you noticed in those few verses, five times, what word keeps being repeated over and over again? All. Everything that God promised came to pass. The Lord gave all that he swore that he would give them. He gave them rest according to all that he had sworn unto their fathers. Not a word, not a word, think about it, not a single word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken. All came to pass. One Bible commentator puts it this way: with God, there are no falling words. Isn't that a good way to look at it? No falling words. And why is that important to all of us as believers? Because we live in a world of falling words. The other day, I listened to something very interesting. It was somebody was bringing out these statistics. And they said, you know, the question was, you know, who am I talking about when I list the following? And it was divorce, and it was spousal abuse, and it was this crime, and it was murder, and it was, and this woman who put this all together, she said, am I talking about NBA players, or am I talking about National Football League players? And she went down this whole list and then totaled up all of the crimes that, you know, you have to pick. And I listened to it, and I thought, I'll say NFL. And she said, well, which one? And I thought to myself, NFL. And she says, well, it's neither. This is a list of the crimes of all of the politicians in our country. I was shocked. Why? Why so many crimes among politicians? Why so many promises made by politicians? And I love what Pastor James told us this morning. The next election is not going to deliver anybody. The next election is not going to liberate people's souls. That's the work of God. And whenever we look to the White House, and to instead of coming to God's house and hearing what God has to say, we are setting ourselves up to be disappointed. Now, don't misunderstand me. You know, vote for the candidate of your choice, and that's your business. But don't think for a moment that we're going to be delivered or we're going to be so much better off because we voted for this individual as opposed to the other. Our vote has already been cast, and that vote is toward God. Amen? He's our deliverer. He's our redeemer. He's our hope. He's our savior. But we do live in a world of falling words, broken promises, empty vows, pledges made only to be taken back, assurances that are given and then just completely ignored sometimes in our lives. This is the world that we live in. I mean, we hear people say this when they go to the altar. I will always love you till death do us part. Words that sometimes tumble, you know, fall. Just like, you know, when that particular season comes, when fall comes and the leaves start falling from the trees. And I have always said to God, why is it that most of the leaves in my neighborhood fall in my yard? They all do. And I keep, you know, and this year was especially difficult because I was injured. I could not do the yard work. And my wife said, I got it. I'll take care of it. And every day she would go out and collect a little box of leaves. I mean, there's millions of them. Just, and then create little piles of leaves all over the yard. And I'd be on my crutches looking out the window and I said, you're doing a great job, Maureen. I appreciate you picking up 15 leaves the other day. But I hope you know there's 15 billion more that are on the grass and still to come. Finally, she said, I'm going to get somebody to do it. I was like, praise the Lord. And she said, I'm going to hire the guys that I know, the ones that helped us bring a tree down. You know, we had to have a tree removed from the yard. She goes, my Spanish friends, I used to teach English to them. They are great. So she got them. And I don't know what in the world they did, But I did come out and watch them working, and they took an old lawnmower. They put all the pile of leaves together, and they took an old lawnmower and started grinding them up. I said to Maureen, how much are you paying these guys to lawnmower our leaves? And she said, don't worry about it. They do a great job. Well, I'm still picking up after them in the middle of February. So they're fired, and so isn't my wife. I mean, she promised, I'll take care of it. But, you know, falling words, tumbling words, again, promises that are made and fall off trees like leaves do. All of us, we're all guilty, right? We've all had our share of falling words. But praise God, you will never hear them from God. Because with God, there are no falling words. That's amazing. In a world of falling words, he remains true. He will never lie. He will never say, I'm going to conform you into the image of my son and then fail to do it. No matter how much time it may take, no matter how much, well, even if we only cooperate with him a little bit, he says, that's fine. I've always said that God says, look, I'm going to do this to all those that belong to me. I'm going to conform you to the image of my son. It's like, I'm going to get you to the other side of that door. You're going to get through that door. And some people, we fight God. We resist God. We kick against God's authority. And it becomes a battle in our lives. But I think God sometimes just smiles and says, yeah, I know you're resisting me. You're fighting me every step of the way. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And you can either cooperate with me and we will get you through the door. But if you don't, it's not a problem. I will pound you through the keyhole. And you will get to the other side. And when you get there, other believers will say, how are you doing? Are you all right? You don't look so good. You look like you were just pounded through a keyhole. And they'll say, I know, but I'm here. Because God promised that he would do it. The Bible says that the Lord's promise is sure. And Psalm 12, verse 6 says this, he speaks no careless words. All his ways are pure, like silver refined seven times. You know, whenever you see the word seven in the Bible, it always speaks of perfection. It's God's number. And when God says he's going to purify our hearts, and when God says he's going to make us like his son, and God says he's going to do this or he's going to do that in our lives, believe me, he's going to do it. Why? Because he is a covenant-keeping God. Amen? And if you want proof, you just look at the history of the children of Israel under Joshua's leadership. Again, he swore that he would give everything to Israel, all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers. He did that. And specifically, he gave a promise to Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. And that was 600 years earlier. Who believed that it would ever happen? I mean, in the history of the Israelites, they could go back and say, Abraham, our father, he told us that God would bring us into the land. That was 600 years ago. And when Abraham died, as far as having any land, all he had was Sarah's cemetery plot. Now, does that look like God kept his word? Does that look like God came through on his promise? Does that look like, well, did that almost look like God has falling words? It might have looked that way, but God wasn't done yet. And neither is he done in our lives. His promises are all yea and amen. And they will come to pass. And I'll bet you there had to be Israelites through their history that basically looked up to heaven and said, God, will you keep your promise? And you know what? Joshua is here in the 21st chapter, and he answers that question. And it's a resounding, yes, I will keep my promises. And here's Joshua declaring it. All the land, all of your enemies, they have been defeated before you. Everything God said he would do, he has done it. The promises of Abraham were partially fulfilled in Joshua here in his book, but they are completely fulfilled in Jesus for each one of our lives. Partial fulfillment, yes, in the book of Joshua. Complete fulfillment for us through Jesus Christ. For in Jesus, every person can have hope and the possibility of redemption throughout the course of their lives. No wonder why Paul the Apostle wrote these words. All of God's promises find their yes in Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. All of those promises that God has given us find their yes in Jesus. It's as Pastor James just shared with us, the righteousness of God. It's the answer to everything in our lives. It's God's way of saying yes. You might ask this question, God, will I ever get through this test and trial that I'm experiencing in my life and have been now for not just weeks or months, but years? The answer is yes. God, will there ever be light at the end of the tunnel that's not the light of an oncoming train? Yes. Will I be healed someday? Yes. Will I have the prospect of a bright future? Yes, you will. Can you redeem the mess of my life? Yes. And I'll even use it and turn it into my message. I'll take your mess and make it my message. That's the answer from God. Why? Because he is a promise-keeping God. I mean, others may make promises, but then they will forget. I think we've all done that, right? We've all made promises. Some of those promises we just simply forget. But when God makes a promise, he keeps it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, he who promised is faithful. I mean, you know, we might use that word, faithful. We might look at some saints and say they are faithful, but that's not our name. Faithful is God's name. In the book of Revelation, when he gets on that horse, it says on his thigh is written the words faithful. Do we sing songs about you and I ourselves? Do we say, oh, you know, how faithful we are? No. But we sing songs about God's faithfulness. Do we have hymns that magnify our consistency and faithfulness in lives? No, we don't, but we sing lots of hymns about God and his faithfulness. You know, we're promised land people too, but remember, our promised land is not a piece of real estate. You know what our promised land is? It's a real state of mind. It's the way we think through life. And then we learn how to do what? Think with God. And we incorporate God's promises within our souls. And we hide those promises in our hearts. And those promises become everything we need to get us through the most challenging and difficult days of our lives. And that's what we do. Go back to what we said at the outset of the message. We choose that. We choose the promises of God. We choose to even believe that God is up to something good when everything we see in our lives looks bad. We believe that. I mean, we may not always have a skip in our step. We may not always have a smile on our face. You know, when people say, how's it going? You might not say, oh, it's bubbling. It's bubbling. It's bubbling in my soul. It's singing and shouting since Jesus made me whole. Right? That might not be our response. We might just say, how's it going? Not great. Not great. I just had a big argument with God. Of course, he won again. But it's not good. Sometimes I feel like my soul is vacillating between faith and unbelief. But that's all right, because there were people that even approached Jesus in the gospel. And Jesus said, just keep believing me. And they said, well, Lord, I believe, but can you help my unbelief? What did Jesus say? No, there will be no unbelief in my camp. You have to leave. You have to go. Thomas, he doubts. Thomas, I can't have no doubters in my disciples. You have to leave. No, listen, when we have unbelief, even if we stop believing, 2 Timothy chapter 2, God remains faithful. He cannot deny the unconditional nature of the covenant that he's entered into with us. That's the nature of our God. Can you imagine that? I stop believing? God says that doesn't change who I am. Imagine if our Let me say it this way. Imagine if God's faithfulness depended upon our faithfulness. Imagine if God's love depended upon our love for him. Where would that leave us? In a lot of trouble. Nothing deserves our attention more in life than the promises of God. That's why we gather together as often as we do. Think about it. Someone loses a loved one. Does God have a promise for them? Yes. Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. I'll wipe away those tears. How about a promise to those that are overwhelmed by trouble in their lives? The righteous, we read in Psalm 34, 19, have a lot of troubles, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. What a promise. How about to the sick? God says, I will sustain them on their sick bed and restore them from their bed of illness. In Psalm 41, verse 3. To those that are lonely, he says, when you pass through the waters, you go through the fire, I will be with you. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. What about those that are on the verge of leaving this world, dying? You know what he says? He's got a promise. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I'm going ahead of you to prepare a place for you in John chapter 14. And how about you and I struggling our way through life from time to time? How about a promise for us? He gives us one. What is it? My grace will be sufficient for you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It's promises like these that enable us to share in his nature. That verse that came up on the screen a little bit ago, Pastor James brought it to our attention, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. We're partakers of God's divine nature. He's given us a capacity. He's given us through his, what? Promises that we will be able to escape the corruption that's in this world. That's our answer. People say, well, if you're going to escape the corruption in this world, you know, you better have a very disciplined life. You better have this and you better have that. They've got a whole list of things that we can do to make sure that we, you know, escape from the corruption. But God says, I'll tell you how you will escape the corruption that's in this world through the new nature that I've given you and you keep fueling and feeding. Just like the little poem says, right? Two natures within my breast. One is foul, the other blessed. The one I love, the other I hate. But the one I feed will dominate. Keep feeding the new nature. Just like we're doing today. Just like maybe some of you will do tonight. Or when you take that Bible college class. Or when you have that Bible study. Or you meet together as a prayer meeting. Or your youth meetings are happening in your respective churches. Just in closing, keep pressing into God's promises. That's all we have to do. When fear surfaces, as it so often does in our lives, respond with this thought. But God said. That's how we answer fear. Somebody says, when fear knocks at the door of your heart, send faith to answer the door. And you will discover most often that there's nothing there. When doubts arise, how do we respond to them? But God said. When guilt overwhelms your soul, what do we say? But God said, there is no condemnation. The one who rescues you and I, in Psalm 31, verse 5, says, I will keep my promises. I mean, that means when everyone else around you begins to live in panic, God says, I'm gonna show you the path of peace, and I want you to take it. Because it will end up being our choice. But just like you made the choice this morning to come here and to gather together with like-minded, like-souled people, you just keep making those good decisions by faith. By faith, because we're living in a world of falling words, broken promises. Do yourself the best favor you could do for yourself. Take hold of the promises of God. Because every single promise God gives us finds its yes in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're so grateful for this weekend. Thank you so much. It's been historical. I don't think anybody goes skiing and gets a thunderstorm out of it. And we just are grateful that we've been a part of it, and I think for the most part injury-free. But even more than all of that exercise and fun and fellowship that we had at the ski slopes, gathering in your name as we have done this weekend always serves that great purpose of building our hearts and strengthening our souls and allowing, you know, the stakes of faith to be driven deeper into the ground. Because really, you know, whether or not our faith, which we could liken, Lord, to a tent, our faith is like a tent. It will either fold up or hold up according to what we believe. And that's all you ever ask us to do. You're the one who makes the promises. You're the one who has the power to keep those promises. We make them and we so often break them, but you are a God without any falling words. And we are so, so thankful for those promises. Perhaps someone is here this morning, has never made a decision to ask Christ to come into their heart by faith. We'll give you an invitation. This is for anyone who's never made a decision. You've heard about the gospel. You've come to church, this church or other churches. You've toyed with religion, but you've never made a conscious, willful decision in your soul to say, Jesus, I want to trust you as my personal Savior. I'm believing on you. I want the robe of righteousness to be placed upon me by faith. I want to be able to go through life knowing that I have peace with God. You said that prayer this morning with believers praying for you, your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Anyone in the audience, you said yes to Jesus. Just raise your hand and put it back down very quickly. Just want to celebrate your new birth. Anyone, Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Father, thank you again for a great weekend. Continue to bless our time together now. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a gift we've received, not this morning and all weekend long, really. Have a couple of prayer requests that we're going to pray for right now. Family, the DePisa family, our local church knows the DePisa family because we pray for them quite often. Chris led worship, but his wife is home. They have a son who's autistic. He's escalating. In fact, their other son, who would have loved to be here, had to stay home to help care for his younger brother. So we're going to pray for David DePisa. They have a record of every time we pray, because David is like cyclical in this escalation, but every time we pray, God answers quickly. And we have a couple of people in the audience here, I won't say their names, but they just in the last few weeks have lost the love of their lives. And one lost his wife, one lost her fiance, and so we're going to pray for them. And then Pastor Scott's got a couple of announcements, and we're going to let the people from Baltimore get the pizza first. The pizza's due to be delivered here in the next 10 minutes or 20 minutes, but we're going to let them go first because they want to hit the road. So all the rest we can wait while the Baltimore group grabs their slices. But Father, you know, I trust that you've already been answering this prayer, and maybe this is going to be retroactive, Lord, but we ask that you would calm David, whatever is troubling him, Lord. We ask that you would calm his soul and his spirit. Father, minister to Sarah and Jonathan as they care for David at home. Thank you for the DePisa family, Lord, and help us to always stand with them in prayer. Father, and for these two that are in the midst of grief, Lord, over this fresh loss of loved ones, we ask you'd minister to them with your comfort, Lord, draw them forward in your perfect will for their lives, Father, and that the grief that they're in right now would not detain them, Lord, but they would be able to walk through this time of grieving with you, Lord, and that add to them in this process of them grieving and coming to you. a greater capacity to serve others that will go through the same things that they're suffering right now. Cover them, build them up, encourage them. Father, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
What do you think of my mittens? Canada. Did you actually give me these that year? So these were 2012. Montreal came to our ski rally and gave me these mittens. They're too warm. So that's 12 years old. Well, yeah, 12 years old. And if you are the owner of these goggles, I will sell them back to you at a very, very cheap price. There is lost and found in the hallway of rally stuff that got collected. If you are missing something, you can look there. So first, I just wanted to thank you, everybody, for coming. Thanks, everybody, for helping out. You know, this takes a lot of work that's going on behind the scenes. But I always like to recognize a few people on the Sunday of each rally. Is Teresa in the room? Teresa, come on up. And Paul Thomer, come on up. And Lynn Thomer is in the nursery. They're going to pull her right now for me. Teresa was in the kitchen. Like every night, I'm like running around picking up. Mark Hans running around helping clean up. We're like ready to lock up. She's still in the kitchen like doing dishes. It's been like awesome, you know, because that kind of stuff, you know, it's just a labor of love. You're here late, you know, you're trying to make sure the church is clean for the next day, the next rally, the next event. So Teresa, come on up. My wife has a flower for you. And Lynn, my wife has a flower for you. Paul, you are supposed to come up. He's saying no, he has the sound. Oh, Teresa, here's a card. Here. And thank you. A couple quick announcements, and then we'll get, hopefully that pizza will pull in any second. If you have any of these and you want to hand them back, I do collect them. If you don't, it's no big deal. Where the lost and found stuff is, I just put a little plastic bin with them. All right. If you didn't pay for rally or you got a square up, you can just see me later after all of this and we can figure that out. Or online. Some people are just using the website and doing it, which is fine. The food will be in the kitchen. We are going to drop tables and chairs quick in 18. Zeb, if you want to grab a couple guys and go do that. And then, so we ask no food and drink in the chapel. The kitchen set up. The big classroom is set up. I feel like a parrot saying that. And we will set up 18 for round tables, round chairs. You can feel free to eat any of those. There's like over 200 slices of pizza about to walk in the door. So if you paid for the rally, it's all inclusive. So it's two slices of pizza, a soda, and the desserts are laid out. Just help yourself. If you didn't, and as Pastor said, all the guests, please go through first. If you didn't and you want to, you know, make a small donation. If you're a family, maybe like $20 in the basket, something like that. We just laid out a basket, but just let the guests get through first. And then our church announcements. I'll burn fast. So, Women's Heart to Heart, February 15th at Michelle Sickles at 7. Next weekend, we're having a marriage seminar here. Pastor Handel's coming up. He's our guest speaker. If you didn't register online, make sure you do it as soon as possible for our headcounts for food. We do dinner. We do comedy. We do multiple sessions. And then I would say, it says if you want to help, contact Sarah DePisa. All right, with that, let's pray, and we are dismissed. So, Father, we praise you, and we thank you for such an awesome weekend. Thank you for every person in this room, the labor of love, every member in particular. And, Father, bless each one, their journeys back, safe travel, no more flats, and the right parts. And, Father, bless the food. And every portion, we ask these things in our Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.